As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Arash Madani guest hosts primetime sports for Bob McCowan. Don't tell Bob, but it's now all tennis talk all the time. This is Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Happy Monday, everybody. This is Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. I'm Arash Madani, and for Bob McCowan, who's a little under the weather. We hope to get Bob back in the next couple of days. After the weekend that was, you just hope you don't get another Sunday like that, right? Wake up to the news of Jose Fernandez and the boating accident. He, one of three young men who lost their lives. You know, we saw a little bit of Jose Fernandez. We saw a little bit of that exuberance and the personality that was just getting going at the ripe age of 24. We were just getting a taste of his ability and just taken from him, taken from us. What a shocking tragedy. And then our evening ended with news of one of the greatest ever, Arnold Palmer. His passing, and you know, it's so difficult to compare eras, and it's so difficult to, you know, really categorize and really rank who the best in certain sports are. But when you talk golf, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, right? Yeah, look, Tiger and the red shirt on Sunday, Tiger Woods is a big part of that. Tiger Woods is part of my generation. I'm in my mid-30s. Tiger's part of that. But when you think of the icons in sport, the giants in sport, Arnold Palmer was one of them. And what a year. We're losing so many. Muhammad Ali, Gordie Howe, and now Arnold Palmer. We'll speak about all of this as the show goes on. Jonah Carey from CBS will join us at 5 o'clock. Dave Perkins, who actually penned a great column on Palmer, he'll join us at 5:35. Bob Bryan from the Boston Globe, Peter Bondra, a Team Europe scout, and we'll also talk about the National Football League. And our phone lines are open until 5 o'clock, as every Monday for the opening hour. 416-870-0590, 416-870-0590, or 888-666-0590. I want to go down two roads. I want to go down the Blue Jay Road with you, but I don't want to talk about bunting. I don't. I'm tired of it already. And I know we're barely off the runway, but they've just called for the aircraft to come back to the terminal, okay? Save the bunt. Listen, Jeff Blundell's here in the morning, and Jeff's here midday, and Jeff and Kevin are here for Baseball Central, and you can talk to Walker about bunting, but I don't want to talk about bunting. I just don't. Okay? Bob's gone. We're gonna avoid bunting for 60 minutes. You have 23 other hours of the day. Wilner's got Blue Jay talk coming up afterwards. Talk to him about bunting. I want to talk about Bautista. I want to talk about this team's hitting. I want to know if you think this offense is good enough for the next week of this regular season to get into October. Is this offense good enough to compete in October? They couldn't hit to save their lives to end the Mariners series. Bautista had the clutch home run. Wasn't enough. They had zeros on the board until, who else? Bautista again on Saturday. And then, of course, came the walk-off yesterday. So let's put the bunting aside. Let's talk about, let's talk on the real. And I want to hear from some of you who may have watched Arnold Palmer compete, who may have watched Arnold Palmer golf. Listen, my connection to Arnold Palmer is an iced tea and a lemonade. My connection to Arnold Palmer is seeing him open Augusta National, open the Masters every year, which we won't see anymore. And my connection, I guess, to Arnold Palmer is June of 1994 when he competed in his last U.S. Open on that crazy day in sports, the O.J. Chase, Rockets, Knicks, World Cup of Soccer, the Rangers Parade, and the rest. Did you watch Arnold Palmer? Did you see him compete? What made him unique? If some of that vintage are out there, would love to hear from you. It's Primetime Sports. I'm Arash Madani in for Bob McCowan. Our one rule, as our phone lines are open until 5 o'clock, there is one rule. We are boycotting bunting. Mike in Niagara Falls, welcome to the program. You want to talk Arnold Palmer. What about him, Mike?
Yes. I'm a little older than you, and I'm 53, but every time you picked up a golf club as a kid, losing a golf ball out in the field or something, you always pretended you were either Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer.
Mm.
He was nothing but a... he was a class act all around, and he resembled my father, believe it or not, in many ways and many traits, and that's what brings back memories, because my father was a big fan of him growing up as a child. And just to watch him, he was like the Frank Sinatra.
Mike, we lost you there. We appreciate the phone call. Yeah, and I think golf is one of those sports, like baseball, that it's about fathers and sons, and it's about one generation and the next. You remember sitting on the couch watching that signature baseball game or watching that Sunday at a major or going to the ballpark. And Arnold Palmer has a special connection to golf fans. People almost get wistful when they speak of Arnold Palmer. Their voices almost drop a little bit. There's a reverence when you speak of Arnold Palmer. There's that commanding respect of Palmer and Nicklaus. Mike, thanks for the call. We're getting some images here from Miami. They've put the... First of all, the Marlins-Braves game yesterday was canceled. And the team right now is just, you know, getting set at Marlins Park to effectively go through the motions of BP. His number is on the pitching mound, and this is going to be not just an emotional night, but a tough night for the former teammates of Jose Fernandez. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590. Your calls until 5 o'clock, so long as we're not talking bunting. Jake, as long as we're not talking about small ball, I'll hear what you have to say. So what do you got?
No small ball
today. All right, man.
I want to talk about the future of the Jays over the next few years at the first base position.
Mm.
Now, assuming that Jose and Edwin are both gone, assuming that we're not going to get Joey Votto, like I've heard.
Right.
I know we re-signed Smoke. I just don't see him being an everyday answer. Do you see at some point Tulowitzki being moved to first base? And if so, when? Or what are your other thoughts on that?
Well, I don't see it happening anytime soon.
I mean, down the road. So, in other words, we'd only need a short-term fix until Tulowitzki eventually moves there.
Right, and I hear where you're coming from. I don't know what the future of Troy Tulowitzki is going to be 2 years from now with this club. And the reason I say that is if they go into rebuild mode, and who knows what Shapiro and Atkins are going to do after this year and after next. But will Tulo A want to be around here? Is he part of this thing? Would they want to ship him off if they could get something for him? You know, the future of the Jays at first base in a lot of ways may very well be what they're, you know, when we were discussing what's the future of the Blue Jays at second base 4 or 5 years ago. Remember, it was Aaron Hill, and you talked to Alex Anthopoulos, and you say, is Aaron Hill your long-term guy? He said, I don't know. We're going to play this through and see how it all works out. And then Kelly Johnson became the second baseman. Is Kelly Johnson the long-term answer at second base? We don't quite know. And then came Ryan Goins, and now it's Devin Travis. I almost get the sense, Jake, that this thing is just going to play itself out.
Yeah, it concerns me more so than second base, just based on the importance of first base in the batting order.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call. And it's going to be an interesting one to look at as this offseason kind of approaches and what direction this team goes in. Because you really wonder, with the state of Donaldson's contract, you know, where's Josh Donaldson going to be after 2017? Is he a guy who's going to be committed if they're going to start over with this group? Is there one more year left with this nucleus? And where's Edwin's head? What's Edwin thinking? He's not sharing much with us, is he? 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590. It was a tough weekend, wasn't it? I mean, you think about it, the Fernandez news, the Arnold Palmer news. There was Mylon Hicks of the Calgary Stampeders, who played for the Michigan State Spartans. He was shot in and around outside a club in Calgary after a win over the Blue Bombers. You know, it's a dark day over there at McMahon Stadium. It was a tough weekend. Let's go back to the lines. We go to Guelph. Bob is there. Bob, I was just at Griffin's homecoming. I called the Griffin's Mustangs game on City TV this weekend, but you don't want to talk football. You want to talk hockey. What's up?
Yes, hi. How you doing? Yeah, we saw you there. We saw you there in the middle, and we saw the people that were coming up and trying to get your autograph.
So, I don't know about that, Bob, but...
two things I want to talk about very quickly. One is the touch upon the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays situation, everybody's getting very, very worried. And I think what happened is that they did, obviously, with them being, I think, like 100 runs ahead of everybody else from last year, an analytical study that was done on them of how to pitch to this particular team. Now, it has succeeded in some way. But I think that, you know, everybody getting their hands up in the air, you know, pretty well all year, that's what's been done. You know, they've been so dissected, you know, that they are having this particular kind of year. Second of all, I do not think that Encarnacion and Bautista will be separating. And that might shock everybody. I think they would be going as a duel. Because they're very, very close. They're very, very close. And I think where Carcion goes, I think Bautista will be falling as a free agent. If that does happen, I do think this. There is no way if Ortiz does retire, and I think the scenarios that they want in the Carcion to play for Boston, I think that's a possibility that there could be an offer. I'm saying this. Anything Boston offers for Encarnacion will be matched by the Blue Jays. Can you imagine the uproar if Encarnacion goes to Boston and Boston, you know, puts out Toronto next year because of him? I do not see that, and I see both of them. And I think nobody has maybe thought of this, that they're going to be going as a duel, to where if they do go as free agency. I think it would be foolish for Toronto not to have him back next year. They are competitive. I do not think. I think they might. Win the wild card and possibly the wild card game.
Okay.
But I don't think that there's a possibility they go any farther. And I just want to briefly touch on the World Cup.
Okay, Bob. We got to cut it off here. Thanks for the phone call. Let's get to a couple of things here. First of all, what big league ball club is going to take two players and lock them up long term? Nearing the age of 40. I don't see that happening. I don't think many people in baseball do. There's a fit. There's no question in Boston for one, if not both of these guys, and nowhere else for both. Bautista reminds you every now and again with some of his defensive plays, hey, the old man still got it a little bit. But long-term, as a defensive right fielder, Father Time has won that battle. I just don't see that. I don't see that scenario unfolding. These two, and I want to talk about Bautista for a second, because, and I've only lived here. I didn't grow up in Toronto. I grew up on the east coast of Canada. I'm a proud Maritimer who grew up in Nova Scotia. I watched a lot of Blue Jays and Expos baseball, but I can't think of a more clutch athlete in Toronto in my lifetime than Jose Bautista. Regardless of what happens with Bautista this offseason, where he goes, whether he stays, unlikely. If he goes, most likely. I think history will remember Bautista. Yeah, for the 50, and yeah, for the 40, and yeah, as part of the, you know, Renaissance and the rest of it. And yeah, for the bat flip. But the bat flip represented how clutch he is. And how often has this dude been clutch? Jose Bautista is the one player in this market where in a big situation, anytime he's up, you're holding your breath. It's hard to exhale. That's unique. That's hard to find anywhere. And who knows what's going to happen with Joey Bats this November, this December. But he took over a clubhouse back in 2010, basically took the leadership role from Vernon Wells. And since, you get the feeling Josh Donaldson has. But Jose Bautista, for a lot of years, was the heartbeat, was the pulse of that clubhouse and of this team. And in big spots, some guys shy away. This dude craved it. Josh in London, you have a thought on Bautista. What is it, Josh?
Yes. I just kind of want to build on the points you were sharing, Arash. For a long time, this has been Bautista's team for the most part.
Right.
Where now it kind of seems it's shifting more to Donaldson, Martin's team, or the young pitchers like Sanchez, Stroman, Osuna, or even this season, you could say it's almost Edwin's team with the season he's putting together. But, the season Bautista's had has been very up and down with more downs this year.
He's had a couple of DL stints.
Yeah, with his injuries for sure. But, people are quick to forget how clutch he is. I wasn't able to watch the game last night or yesterday afternoon, but I listened on the radio, and I forget exactly who it was, whether it was Jerry, Joe, or Mike, but they stated, through the struggles this season, Bautista, even though he's still top of the league in walks, he's also putting up a 1,015 OPS with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
And this year, that has been a major struggle of the Blue Jays. Yeah, Batista's always there in the clutch, cashing in runs when it means the most.
Yeah. No, so, Josh, I appreciate the call. Yeah, that's what he's been. That's who he is. That's the deal. Let's go back to the phone lines, 416-870-0590. Let's go to, is it Thierry in Toronto?
Hi, Mr. Rinaldi. How are you?
Terry, everything's good. What's up?
I've been a long-time follower of yours. I wish you the best. I think you're an amazing sportscaster, and I'm not saying that.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. Kind of you.
I have to ask you. I have a question for you. I'm old enough to remember the Marshall Thundering Herd plane crash. I'm old enough to remember Thurman Munson. I'm old enough to remember a lot of bad days in sports.
Right.
In your mind, has there been a day worse than yesterday?
Oof.
I mean, even, and to top it off, I was okay until Vin Scully started singing Wind Beneath My Wings to 53,000 people at Chavez Ravine. That's when I lost it. And everybody that grew up, I'm from Alberta originally, and you didn't have the Blue Jays in the early 70s. You didn't have the Seattle Mariners. You had the Los Angeles Dodgers or the San Francisco Giants, and nobody was a San Francisco Giants fan.
Right.
You watched the Dodgers mostly because of Tommy Lasorda. So you grew up with Vin Scully, and he's gone. No Saturday in sports than yesterday with the Hicks thing. Obviously, Jose Fernandez. And I really stress, this guy was the antithesis of the narcissistic, selfish athlete. Read about this guy. He was amazing. It was a bad day for Lawson. I'd like your thoughts if you have ever encountered a day that was as sad as yesterday. And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I appreciate the kind words. Off the top of my head, I can't. I don't remember a day quite like that one. Let's hope we don't have another one. But I have to, Terry, disagree with you on the Vin Scully thing. Listen, if you talk about, first of all, here he is after 61 years going out on his own terms. Then they hold a pregame ceremony for him where Sandy Koufax and Clayton Kershaw are the two players, past and present, who pay tribute. Then, in your final broadcast ever, in the 10th inning, you go extras. You get a walk-off to win the division at home? Man, I mean, that storybooks aren't that good. Remember Bubba Watson when he won the Masters? They said, is this what you dreamed of? He said, I never got this far in my dreams. It's almost as if, you know, there was a charmed existence to this weekend at Dodger Stadium. Now, there was so much tragedy this weekend too. And nothing that comes to mind was this bad. But yeah, I read there was somebody who wrote about Roberto Clemente and his crash. And is Jose Fernandez the Roberto Clemente of our generation? It may be. In the 2009 postseason, I spent some time with the Anaheim Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, whatever they were then. Nick Adenhart, killed by a drunk driver. The impact that had. Bobby Wilson, his catcher, their best buddies in the minor leagues and AAA. Bobby Wilson still playing big league baseball. Jared Weaver, I mean, moved by it. Everybody, you know, tragedy affects people in different ways. 416-870-0590. This is Primetime Sports. I'm Arash Madani in for Bob McCowan. Bob's a little under the weather. John Shannon will join us from 5 to 7. We're going to talk about Arnold Palmer. We're going to talk about the Blue Jays. We're going to talk about Jose Fernandez and the National Football League. We're taking your calls until 5 o'clock. Would love to get your thoughts on the NFL. Would love to get your thoughts on the Blue Jays, so long as we're not talking bunting. That's the only ground rule. And if anybody out there watched Arnold Palmer, appreciated Arnold Palmer, we'd love to hear from you too. We go back to the lines. Guy in Toronto. Guy, you want to talk Jays offense. What about it?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a loaded question you got there, Rash. Will the Blue Jays offense hold up in the playoffs? Well, what about the Texas bullpen? What about the Red Sox back end of the rotation? What about the Cleveland Indians after losing their stud and have an injury to Salazar? How are their
Guy, almost every team in the AL is flawed. I'm with you.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say, I was more going to comment on the Jose Bautista thing. I think you're bang on with there's not a better clutch hitter on the team, including Josh Donaldson. And I can't believe the fans this year, and I've been saying it all year long, the guy's been injured for one-third of the season.
Yeah.
And he's still on pace to hit 30 and drive in 90. You know, and fans are like, oh, you know what, he's batting .232. Well, you know what, what's the difference if he gets a walk or a single when he's leading off, or if he's extending an inning so that the guys who should be driving him in, drive him in? And I really think, to answer the question, the main two guys on this team in the playoffs, if they're going to succeed and go far, because the other guys will still be there, Donaldson and Kress, are Bautista and even Kevin Pillar. I think those are the two main guys that we need to see clutch hitting from. And I think this team can make a run, although I don't think they're World Series contenders. I'll hang up and listen to me.
All right, Guy. No, I appreciate it. I think everyone's got, you know, everyone worries. Everyone wonders. But, yeah, there are areas. And listen, in a lot of ways, the Red Sox were what the Blue Jays were last year. I mean, they are a juggernaut right now. Down 5 runs in the 9th inning? No matter. We got this. But yeah, you wonder about the third starter. You wonder about Pomeranz. You wonder about that bullpen. The bullpen was the worry in Boston for the longest time up until 3 weeks ago when they just started to mash. This is a pennant race, folks. This is what September baseball is. Last year was not September baseball. Last year was a runaway. Last year was Tiger Woods, 97 Augusta, just walking down the 18th fairway without a worry in the world, knowing he'd won. Not every major is won that way, and not every September is this way. You're going to go through ups and downs and heartbreaking losses, and you got to grip on and hold on tight and see where this takes you. Because there's miles to go before we sleep. This is the week. Yankees tonight, Orioles, then they go to Fenway. So many permutations. Over there at our baseball department, I was sitting in with our executive producer and our travel coordinator before coming on air, and you don't even want to know what the whiteboard looks like, where they could be headed, what's next. It's a lot of fun. And it's just getting started. More than 1.5 million Canadians watched the Blue Jays-Yankees on Friday night. People are into it. We got time for one more phone call before we take a quick break. Our phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590. Daryl in Edmonton, you have an Arnold Palmer story for us?
I do. Arash, how are you doing?
Everything's well, Daryl.
Good. Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to, I'm your age as well, but I've spent 30 years as a golfer and about 20 working in the industry.
Okay.
And at this time, you know, we always talk about, oh, what would you say, one word, you know, one word about Arnold Palmer. Well, for those of us who's worked in the industry, made a living, I was lucky enough to work at one of his courses and play professional events on his courses. And to me, there's two words, and I'm sure in your industry, there's guys that are those icons, but emulate and indebted. And those of us in this industry, we owe 10 cents every dollar we make to him.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you talked about greatest athletes of all time. He probably doesn't enter that list, but when we talk about greatest sportsmen of all time, being sportsmanship, contributions off the field, I mean, the biggest kids' hospital in North America.
Icons, right, Daryl?
As sportsmen, he makes my Mount Rushmore, and not only that, he's the king of it.
Daryl, I appreciate the phone call. Well said, man. Well said. Yeah, there are icons. It's Palmer, it's Nicklaus. In tennis, I'd have to say it's, you know, old school, Rod Laver, Billie Jean King, new school, Serena and Fed. I mean, basketball, yeah, it's MJ. But basketball, I mean, Jerry West is one of those icons. He's the damn logo, for crying out loud, right? There are special people in sport that have meaning way beyond their field of competition. Arnold Palmer was one of them. And Arnold Palmer no longer with us, passing away last night at the age of 87. Our phone lines remain open until 5 o'clock Eastern, 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590. John Shannon will join us from 5 to 7. More on the passing of Jose Fernandez, on Arnold Palmer, and of course on the Blue Jays and the National Football League, not to mention the World Cup of Hockey. Maybe the busiest time of year in sport. We look forward to hearing from more of you as Primetime Sports continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Did Bob McCowan just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. On demand. On demand.
It's Primetime Sports for the 26th of September. 5 days away from October. 8 days away from the AL wildcard game. Miles to go before we sleep in the big league season. Arash Madani in for Bob McCowan. Bob's a little under the weather. We expect him back in a couple of days. We're taking your phone calls until 5 o'clock. Then John Shannon will slide in. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590. We'd love to hear from anybody out there who may have watched Arnold Palmer compete. Arnold Palmer do his thing. Arnold Palmer become one of the great golfers, one of the great sports icons ever. If you have a story, something you'd like to share, 416-870-0590. We're talking baseball. We'll talk National Football League. We'll talk World Cup of Hockey. We'll talk whatever you want, as long as we don't discuss bunting. That's the only caveat. Mike in Sarnia. Mike, you saw Arnold Palmer?
Yes, I did, Arash. 1967 at the Montreal Municipal Golf Course at the Canadian Open, and that's where I'm from originally.
Okay.
And so
what do you remember from that? What stood out about the aura of Arnold Palmer?
Well, he's Arnold Palmer.
Right.
I'll tell you, the shot he hit, the number six hole was 440 yards. It was the number one handicap hole. He drove it through the fairway into the rough, and he had a flyer lie. So behind the green, 10 yards over the green's a fence and out of bounds. And I'm looking at the line and I said, well, normally he'd hit a 5-iron, but if it jumps, he's probably going to hit 6 to protect going over the green, because that's what I would do. That's what I hit my 5-iron. So he gets up and he's got a 5-iron in his hand, and I'm just looking. I'm saying, what the heck? And he gets up and just hammers this thing. And the ball gets out about 40 or 50 yards, and then I can't see it because there's grass flying everywhere. And then all of a sudden I pick it up, and it's going higher and higher and higher. And a nice high draw, and it lands 20 feet pin high, 3/4 deep on the green.
Awesome.
And I said, that's why he's Arnold Palmer.
That's why he's Arnold Palmer.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep.
Mike, nearly 40 years after that moment, you remember the course, hole,
yep,
the yardage?
It was like he hit it right now.
Right.
That's how good that shot was.
Right.
And Mike, the other thing about Arnold was Arnold didn't have the prettiest looking swing, as you know. He had that whirly bird finish.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Arnold was that Arnold really believed in himself and in what he was doing. And they asked Jack Nicklaus, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, because nobody loves golf more than Arnold did. And they asked Jack, why does Arnold keep playing? Like, his game's not what it used to be. And he said, he's just, you know, he's not what he used to be. And Jack says, he still thinks he can win. And it's true. That's how the man thought. He was that kind of a winner. He loved to play, and he loved to compete.
Yeah, Mike, we appreciate the phone call. We appreciate the memories. Thanks so much. Arnold Palmer. You have a memory of Arnold Palmer? Did you watch him? Mike Insarnia certainly did. Was there in Montreal in 1967. Remembers that sixth hole, 440 yards, the way he drove it, the way he had the approach. Blue Jays end their series with the Yankees today. Baltimore comes in for 3, Tuesday through Thursday, before they go to Fenway. Steve joins us on the line. Steve, you believe tonight is as important as it gets?
Let me tell you something. I'm going to be at the game tonight.
All right.
And this game is a very important game to them. You know, I like what everybody's thinking about. I'm a realist when it comes to baseball. Followed the sport for 38 years. Love the game. And I'm just not on the same wavelength as a lot of the Toronto fans in respects to this team already in the playoffs, and they're going to play the wild card game against Baltimore, Detroit. Listen, when you look at it, they lose tonight. They become only, depending on what Detroit does with Cleveland, they become, what, one game, a half game ahead of Detroit?
Right.
And then they go to Baltimore, who, Jays seem to have Baltimore's number. And you
Well, Baltimore comes here. They don't go to Baltimore.
Baltimore comes here, sorry. You don't think Baltimore's going to have their number and look to maybe, you know, take a couple of games out of there? And the most important
Well, of course they're going to try, yeah.
Yeah, the most important thing you got to look at is, Farrell, when they play Boston in Boston, Farrell is going to put his best lineup out there to make sure that he does it against his ex-team.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. I mean, listen, we don't know what John Farrell's going to do. We don't know if the Red Sox have something to play for by the weekend. We don't know if he wants to give his guys rest, in particular, Poppy, not to mention some of those starting pitchers who could probably use a breather. So let's not get too carried away on the hyperbole here. 416-870-0590, Arash Madani in for Bob McCowan. Paul in Mississauga, you have a thought on Bautista.
Yes, and just before I get to that, this is the first time I've had a chance to talk to you, Arash, and I'm happy to do so.
Thanks, man.
And I do actually have one quick thing to mention about Bunce, but...
Okay. Make it quick now. Cake? Make it what quick,
is,
brother.
I want to know what your favorite Bunt cake is. Is it chocolate, marble... Anyway, my thought on Bautista, up until this resurgence over the last 4 or 5 days, which is a welcomed thing for all Blue Jays fans as far as I'm concerned, I would, if he stays as hot as he is right now and couldn't come at a better time, you leave him right where he is, driving in runs and being put in that position. I know he's bounced around if, you know, playing, being like first and everything else. If he cools off again and goes back to taking a bunch of walks, I would put him in the second spot and move Donaldson and Encarnacion up. I know you want to have
a lot of ifs in that scenario, Paul.
Yeah, but I know that, you know, you always say, well, you want Encarnacion to get as many bats as possible. But overall, the overall average, if Devin Travis is getting hits and Bautista's even just walking, he's moving Travis across and it leaves it up for Donaldson. I think overall it would score more runs than it coming down to perhaps, you know, Encarnacion being the one getting that extra last at bat, you know, once every couple of games or something like that, or how that might work out. Yeah. Anyway, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Paul, thanks. I'm just of the belief, as you watch this team kind of go along and do their thing, and please don't jump down my throats, it almost feels like they're either going to put up zero or they're going to put up nine. Okay, Bautista had a 3-run home run the other day, but you know what I'm saying? It's one of those, either the offense is going and they're clicking and they're balling or they're not. And so what's the best scenario that you can get Jose Bautista going offensively? That's the real deal here. Don Mattingly right now speaking in the Miami Marlins dugout. He's still a wreck, broken up. Jose Fernandez dead at the age of 24, of course, from the boating accident late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. The number 16 splashed all over Marlins Park. Jonah Carey is going to join us just after 5 o'clock to talk more about one of baseball's great young pitchers who tragically lost his life over the weekend. Time for a couple more calls. Bill in PEI, you want of all the scenarios, you want to discuss who may get the ball to start the wild card game. Who do you feel should go, Bill?
Okay, so Boston is a juggernaut, like you said. So they're pretty much a walk to the roll into the East. But I'm a big believer, all you got to do is get in and you have a chance. So I'm pretty confident, you know what I mean, looking at the Baltimore series and the Boston series to finish up, that we're going to get into the show. But it's going to be a one-game playoff to get to the next series. I think based on what we've seen this year, Hap should get the ball. But I think, you know what, he should be in a short leash, probably with Sanchez ready to come in and back it up. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were, Arash, on that.
Yeah, Bill, I'm intrigued on a couple of things there. You want to see who's pitching the best going in. If we had this conversation 3 weeks ago, I would have told you Estrada. If we had this conversation 2 weeks ago, I would have told you Sanchez. If we had the conversation last week, I would have said Hap. I don't know who I'd tell you today. And I certainly, you know, can't foresee who I'm going to tell you next week either. It's who is the guy that you just have the most confidence in, who's the healthiest that can do it. And I don't know, Bill, and thanks for the call, if we'll know that right up until. I want to get a couple more phone calls here. John in Burlington, you saw Arnold Palmer play as a kid. What stood out from that? What memory do you still have all these years later?
So I was a young guy trying to find a way to get out of the house in the summer. I was playing hockey in the winter, and I decided to take up golf. So I thought I'd go to the Canadian Open in Windsor in 76, Essex Golf Course. There was nobody in the stands. It was kind of quiet. It was Saturday afternoon, and all of a sudden, there's like 7,000 people lining the 18th fairway. I didn't know what was going on, and I said to a guy beside me, I'll never forget it, why all of a sudden all the people? And he goes, oh, that's Arnie's army. He must be close. And then all of a sudden, it doubled again, and then he played the hole, and then from there, they were all gone. Back to like 500
all gone.
People. Completely gone. I've never seen anything like it in my life and haven't since. And it was just crazy how deep they were. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And from that day on, I've been playing golf. So, by the way, great work in the Olympics.
Hey, John, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. We have another Arnold Palmer story from Artie in Coldwater. Artie, what's yours?
Hi, Arash. Well, in 1989, I was a student at McMaster. A good friend of mine was a big golf fan, a big fan of Arnold Palmer's and a golf nut. And we both wrote for the student paper, and I suggested we write a story about Mr. Palmer. So we wrote a letter to his home course and asked if we could come down to do some research at his home course. And they called us back and asked us if we would come down the end of June. And we had 2 days at his course.
You're kidding.
Contributed like members, and Mr. Palmer played behind us on our second day and came up afterwards and introduced himself, and we spent an hour talking to him on his practice screen.
Incredible.
Yes. And then he actually called his personal assistant, Doc Giffen, and told him to come pick us up and take us for a tour of his workshop and his office.
Wow. So what a thrill as a college student that must have been, Artie.
For a student newspaper, he went out of his way to make us feel like we were press royalty.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. What a great story that is, Artie. Thank you for sharing it with us. Those are the things that separate them, right? You're not dealing with handlers. It's okay. Yeah, I'm going to golf behind you, and we'll chat for an hour, and I'll get you all set up over there. And thank you for coming. It doesn't happen anymore. We got time for one more. Alan in Toronto. You have a thought on the Blue Jays, Alan?
Yeah, I was very critical of the Yankees yesterday, intentionally walking Josh Donaldson. I realized first base was open and you're setting up a force, but look who was in the on-deck circle, Edwin Encarnacion, and the outfield has to play in because anything hit over your head, you may as well let it drop because the runner's going to tag and score anyway, and Edwin is a candidate for hitting the ball deep, either over the wall or on the warning track. So I would have taken my chances with Donald, and then first base would be open. The outfield would be moving back because there's two out. The outfield would be moving back, and he could have intentionally walked Edwin and then got to Batista. But at least, the strategy backfired. That intentional walk backfired, as far as I'm concerned. Very highly critical of Girardi.
All right. Well, Alan, I appreciate it. Yeah, it was, listen, the walk-off is always the special deal. We know that. We appreciate that. We understand it. And as big as yesterday's win was, and it was significant, there's no disputing that. Of what's gone on over the last week or so, the signature moment of this September pennant race for the Blue Jays, to me, is still Saturday. And it was the eighth inning. There you have Grilly in the eighth. Two out, two strikes, gives up the triple. John Gibbons unwavering, doesn't even look to his telephone, doesn't look to Pete Walker. Then how does Grilly respond? The punch out. And if you're watching on television, we're reliving it. Added a couple of F-bombs emphatically on his way out, and then in the eighth inning, still scoreless, after Grilly gets out of the jam, what happens? Bautista, again, clutch, again. Big time moment, delivers again. That Saturday eighth inning, and who knows what's going to happen over the next week. But if the Blue Jays end up hosting a wild card, and if Toronto ends up going on any kind of October run, that's what I'll go back to. Because so much of this has been hovering and hinging, and they win two in Anaheim, but then they, they look awful the next two. And they win the first couple of games in Seattle, and then they can't hit. And then come the Yankees, and they take the first game of the series, and they take the second game of the series, and then Bautista, and they get the second game of the series because of Jose Bautista and Jason Grilly. It was big time. Big time stuff. We thank those of you who called in. We apologize to Gary Montgomery, Michael Jojo, and Ian for not being able to get to you. John Shannon is going to slide in here until 7 o'clock, Jonah Carey will join us, talking baseball, talking Jose Fernandez, talking Vin Scully, talking Blue Jays. Dave Perkins, one of the finest golf chroniclers this country has had, he'll join us talking about Arnold Palmer. We'll hear from Bob Ryan. Peter Bondra is a scout with Team Europe. He'll pop over, and we'll talk about the National Football League. One note, and this is interesting to me. Media day across the NBA. Draymond Green today said the goal is to win a title, not break last year's regular season record. Quote, I don't even want to win 74 or 75 games. Those Warriors are growing up. Baseball, football, Arnold Palmer, a lot more coming up next.